We're attempting to finish the second part of the message we started last week. Faith to come out of Babylon, obeying God. We examined Naboth. Naboth was the one that we're looking at that had that faith. All of us need to garner up that faith that Naboth had. We see where Naboth's life was written in the book. I guess it's a reference to Naboth and some of the rest of us that are written in the book of life, but not by name. Because sometimes names, if we look at some of those in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, some of them's life didn't end quite the way we would expect a person's of faith life to end. I chose Naboth over, say, even Gideon, because it seems to be Gideon went back into idolatry toward the end of his life. He didn't come out of Babylon. And I tell you, Babylon wasn't geographical. We're living in the modern day Babylon. We don't want to become complicit in this modern day Babylon. Babylon coming out, and God calls his people out of Babylon in the book of Revelations. And I said that I was going to start a series on that after this, maybe a 2 or 3 series teachings on that, because I think the world, the church world, or the church people, or God's people, are becoming complicit with the world by not studying the Word of God, and that they're living hypocritical lives. It's going to be something in that day and that time. It's something now to see the people of your own churches and around that's not living for God, but living a lie and deceiving themselves, the Bible says. Deceiving themselves. They have religion, but it's a religion without Jesus Christ being the Lord and the captain of their salvation, without the authority of God in their lives. We see that this morning. The book of Hebrews 11, chapter in the 37th verse, when it starts to say, they say, some were stoned. They were stoned to death. They were sawed in two. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were put to death by the sword. They went about wrapped in sheepskins and goats, sheep and goat skins, utterly destitute, oppressed, and cruelly treated. That's why Jesus, I guess, asked, would he find faith when he come back to the earth? Because the faith of Jesus Christ has been compromised. We've compromised it for clothing. We've compromised it for worldly goods, for things. We've sold our inheritance in the kingdom of God through the tempting and renouncing that faith for things of this world. Whether it's what we give to God or do for God, we're not doing that for God because we've lost our faith. Our faith is not strong. That's why we've compromised in all of these areas. We don't have the power to serve God because we don't want to suffer. We don't want to be oppressed. We don't want to be cruelly treated as an outcast or someone that stands up for a principle. See, this is about principalities and powers. It's about what God's word has said. And if you can hold on to God's word in your life, have faith and trust and confidence and hope in that word. You may be a neighbor, you may die, but you remember the reading verse last week was, he who saveth his life shall lose it his life. And a lot of people are trying to save their life, save face in this world, and they're losing their life because they don't have any eternal life. And see, Naboth lost his life, but he has eternal life. God has given him eternal life, and he'll have the inheritance of that. And a lot of us selling the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Ghost. That's why you don't feel the Spirit. That's why you're not born again. And people can't see that in your life. You've sold out to the world. You sold that. You don't have a power. You may be sitting in church, but it's a zeal for God without the knowledge of God. You've become complicit with the world. what's the word complicit? Helping to commit a crime or to do wrong in some way. We see where the elders, where Ahab, where all of these people was complicit in Naboth's death. And if you're not contending earnestly for the faith, you're complicit with Satan right now, because you say either you're for me or against me. And that's why he asks, will he find faith when he come back? It's association or participation in a wrongful act. And so they used to use the word accomplice, or will you accomplice to it? But as words go and time goes by, we see they morph those words sometimes, morph or leave out of existence. But from last week, we need to tie this in. And this week, what we're looking at, let's just narrow it down to maybe 3 points compressed. We will kind of condense those 3 points. But we're looking at a conniving queen, a covetous king, and a complicit leaders or elders. That's what it contains in this. And that's what the world is today. That's what we have today. When Naboth denied Ahab his vineyard, Ahab went back and sulked and everything. And Jezebel told Ahab, this is the conniving queen. Conniving. A person that connives all the time. There are connivers in the church. Schemers. And people always working things for their advantage. Working to do wrong. That's all they do. It's a malicious act. That's what this woman was about. Ahab was unequally yoked. Ahab had known it wasn't anything he can do about Naboth not giving him his vineyard. Ahab really probably knew that law, he should have known that law was there, that God had forbid him to give him that vineyard. So he told Jezebel about it when she asked why he didn't eat. And she brought a charge against Naboth for that. If you read, she say, aren't you the king of Israel? And don't you govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be merry, and I will give you Naboth's vineyard. The problem is right there, listening at his wife. He should have told her right then, you can't give me Naboth's vineyard. Naboth then told me, and I looked at the word of God, and it's right that I couldn't have his vineyard. There's no way I could have that vineyard in the fashion you're talking about giving me the vineyard. And a lot of men are scared of their wives. Their wives lead them about. They're complicit in this lack of leadership. A conniving woman had got him going down the road of, in that road of unrighteousness. Shouldn't have laid down and let this go, because he knew she had something up her sleeve when she told him that. So for all the preachers and things saying Ahab was ignorant of this, I don't think that they're really following God's word, or that they're in touch with God's word. That's why when Elijah came, he told Ahab that you had allowed Naboth's blood to be spilled. You can't blame your wife. And a lot of men, a lot of time when I catch people blaming other people, I don't put pretty much stock in that person, because that's a person that won't stand up for something that they were complicit in. In other words, you allow this to come to pass, but now when the pot starts to boil, you try to jump out the fire and say, my wife or somebody else said. Well, didn't you go along with it until it blew up in your face? She brought a charge of blasphemy and said Naboth had blasphemed God and the king. So she acted like something was wrong here in Israel and the reason things was going bad. When things start going bad, people look for somebody to blame. And she brought a religious charge, you say. He had blasphemed God and the king. And according to Leviticus, the Leviticus law in Leviticus 24:15-16 and other parts of Deuteronomy, it required the death penalty for by stoning for blasphemy against God. It required the death penalty. So she declared a fast that says, listen at this. She wrote letters in Ahab's name. That's fraud right there. That's fraud. And seal it them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in it, the cities dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, worthless scoundrels, people that are willing to lie and accuse others of evil before him to bear witness against him, saying that this Naboth blaspheming God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders, these are the religious leaders, these are the tribal and the heads of the families. They listened at what she said. Now, this is a premeditated judgment. She didn't say search the matter and see was it true. In other words, the judgment was already set and she had already decreed how to carry it out. And this was the queen doing that. And a lot of people know who's ruling the roost. A lot of times a man or somebody say some person, why don't you go check with your wife or something, because you know he's going to come back and say, well, my wife said or this and that there, because he thought he could say this or get away with it or whatever, and the buck stops at the wife. They knew where the buck stopped at. Wasn't no use asking Ahab. They said, and the men of the city and the elders and nobles who were in the inhabitants in the city did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was written in the letters which she had sent him. And they proclaimed the fast and set Naboth up on high. And it came to pass when this was done that they sent to Jezebel, not Naboth though, they sent and told her, Naboth is stoned to death and he's dead. They knew who was in charge. That made them complicit in this. See, that's how, if you're not looking at the nation, people look at these stories in the Bible and isolate them away from their lives. Now, look at everybody in the church should be looking at the deacon, should be looking at the members, the choir members, the preachers, everybody. Look at his life personally and see if he living this. Look at your leaders in your nation. Look at what's going on in television. What are they living? Because you can fool yourself and just hear it in the Bible and what's going on in actual life. The people that's saying this around you, how are they living? What are they doing? This are religious occasions. It says proclaim a fast. In this nation, sometimes we have national prayer there and everything. I don't tell the church at all to pray with the nation, talking about prayer day. You mean to tell me this nation connive and do the evil thing that they do and then go back talking about pray to God? A lot of the churches and a lot of the people say, now you didn't work all this wickedness and pointing all these fingers and you go pray to God? Turn from your ways. Proclaim a fast, you said. Listen to what God said about the churches. You know, talk about the churches nowadays. Apply that to your churches and things nowadays. He says in Isaiah 58, 4 through 5, what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me, God says. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance. Like Ahab, he humbled himself before the Lord. When he accepted Ahab humbling himself before him, when Elijah had told him that he was going to kill him, did you know that that was the second time God had issued the death penalty to Ahab? That's why if you're reading that chapter that we're in, chapter first, that's 1 Kings 21, 1 through 25. But if you read chapter 20, Ahab had the death penalty issued on him by another prophet of God for not doing what God had told him to do. You only have so many chances before God pulled the plug on you. Now, God allowed Ahab and showed the people, that was a lesson for us, how Ahab humbled himself when God told him he was going to die. When Elijah told him that God said he was going to die. So God pointed that out. Why is this sitting in the Bible? God's showing he's merciful and that he will honor true humility and humbleness, but the consequences were still there. He said he's going to do it during Ahab's son's time. So some 3 or 4 years before that death penalty was carried out, but he did kill Ahab. Because he asked for how he was going to get Ahab in the battle to kill him. See, because Ahab wasn't repentant because he was going to follow God and that he was going to start doing right and kick Jezebel out and cut her neck off. He was going to be right back to the old deeds he was in. This nation hadn't changed since 9/11. It's right back to its old deeds that it was doing. Same thing. He says, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind, you dress up in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this is what you call fasting? Do you really think this is going to please me? No prayers was going to be answered. God, look at the verses in there. Look through the Bible and you hear God tell his preachers, a lot of his prophets, don't pray for this people. Don't pray for this people. I'm not going to hear you. All the churches love to say, oh, prayers to answer. Prayers to answer. God said, don't come before me with your prayers and things and you doing art against your brother and everything. You go get right with your brother before you come to me with that hypocrisy. Isaiah 1st chapter 13 through the 17th verse. The 59th chapter, the 2nd, 3rd through the 15th verse. 1 Samuel 8th chapter 18th verse. Isaiah 5th chapter, the 20th verse. Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, 22nd verse. In the book of Micah, tells about the day of the Lord and God turning his face from your prayer. Because throwing a brick hiding your hand don't work with God. Doing all this wickedness and then going pray to God, that doesn't deter or change God. In the book of Proverbs, and when he says, woe unto them that call good evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and for light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. These elders was doing evil and it was bringing the death upon their children. It was bringing up on their own heads. The people cried when they were taking Jesus and hauling him to the cross. And he says, weep not for me, weep for your sons and daughters, because what you're doing will fall on your family. Yes. He says in Isaiah, the first verse, the 13th, I mean, first chapter, 13th to the 17th verse, stop bringing me meaningless gifts. The incense of your offering disgusts me. Don't bring him any money, he says. Stop bringing me any kind of prayer. It's disgusting to me. As for your celebrations of the new moon or your Sabbath day, your worship services and your special fasting, they are all sinful and false. That's what God's word says. They're all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your celebrations and your annual feasts, your Christmas holidays and Easter. I hate all that, he says. They are a burden unto me and I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the rights of the widows. Because here they were making Naboth's wife a widow. They were, the judgment they passed killed Naboth and his sons over his property. They were doing the very thing God told them not to do. How can God bless that mess? He don't bless messes. God's not going to answer our prayer or deliver us from the leaders we've chosen. Our prayers will not gain us or God will not see them. Because you have chosen those leaders. Your leaders get you killed. If a woman married a wrong man, the whole house is destined to do. Preacher, the church got the wrong pastor, they're destined to do. Because you have the blind leading the blind. You can't blame this on your leader because you chose that leader and you liked it. You're supposed to be in God's word to where you like Naboth. You're contending for the faith. It was Naboth said, this is as far as it go, right here. God forbid me to do it. See, but a lot of us like to live too much. We passive. We're not contending. You won't stand up for anything. You're spineless and gutless. Listen, what the book of Lamentation, this is when God was destroying Jerusalem. See, that was the lost tribe Israel he's talking about, because all those people that did this, they had false preachers and everything. They wasn't walking with God. God was going to send them. They wasn't going to ever be found again. That's the lost tribes of Israel. But look what he tells Jerusalem after he destroyed Judah. He said, instead, let us, the people answer and says, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord, because they knew they had turned away from God. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven and say, we've sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven us. You have engulfed us with your anger, chased us down, and slaughtered us without mercy. You have hidden yourself in a cloud so our prayers cannot reach you. You know, a lot of us in bad shape today where your prayers not reaching heaven. A lot of us, that's why we go stay perpetually broke. That's why we go stay perpetually sick. That's why we go stay perpetually alone. Because you've turned your back on God. You're not walking in this way. But you console yourself, you know. You put a little church in it. You put God's name in it. And you think you're doing something. And you console yourself. Oh, yeah, we're suffering for God. No, you're suffering for yourself. You're suffering from your wrong ways. You suffering for the life you live. Some scriptures on connivance for y'all. Psalms 50 and 18. Proverbs 24 and 24. Proverbs 28 and 4. Mark 14 and 11. Acts 22 and 20. Romans 32, 1 and 32. Because I said, you had a conniving queen, but the second point of it, the people and the leader, the covetous king, he was complicit in this. Complicity, and I tell you what complicity was. Just as Ahab, wrong interpretations of God's law enter when covetousness is involved. Jesus stayed out of arbitrary civil judgments. You have to learn to not enter into the things of the world. Don't get entangled in the world's affairs. Yes. That's why I say you have to come out of Babylon. You have to, you're an observer, and that's why you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Yes. So you must learn how to operate according to being led by the Spirit, like Naboth. He was working there in his vineyard, but he wasn't a part of what's going wrong in Israel. And the people that actually knew him and the God that knew him knew he wasn't part of it. He wasn't going to go for it, not one second. Listen at what Jesus said. The man came to Jesus, and one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who had made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Then he said, Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you owe, not how much you own. I mean, it's not measured by that. That's what the people are today. That's why gambling and lotteries and things are big in the nation today. People are covetous. They're greedy. They want something that doesn't belong to them. They want easy wealth. They want easy riches. The reason he didn't enter into this arbitration here, that the law had dealt with what the inheritance should be between him and his brothers. So if they were taking heed unto the law, it would have divided by the laws of God. And if his brother was doing it wrongly, he would, in faith, he would have suffered the wrong maybe. See, sometimes you have to suffer wrong. You'll see your brothers and sisters die out or something come of them, or you may not see it. But your faith and hope has to lie in God, because those are your own enemies and things. That, you know, that's some of the worst battle you see is battle over inheritances and things. You'd be surprised how greedy people is around you, and long as they're getting from you, are able to get you good with them, but let it boil down to this and that. What he had warned Ahab about earlier, Ahab was fighting Ben-Hadad, and God had given Ahab the victory over Ben-Hadad several times. But what happened was, he had appointed Ben-Hadad to death, and instead of killing Ben-Hadad when he had the opportunity, he allowed him to live. And he sent a prophet, and he told Ahab that he was going to die, because the one that should have died, he allowed him to escape. See, sometimes people, we holding people up in prayer, helping people, and God says, he to the sword, to the sword. Sometimes people get what they got coming. We're not here to live all the time, and some people, that's what they meant to die. Death is imminent. They're getting what God had sent to them. See, that's the thing about God's prophets and his people. If you're operating in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, death is death if you do what God told you to do. And if God told you to kill him, or God told you whatever to do, that's how it's got to happen. You will have to pack a lot of them. Like I say, Joshua and Caleb seen all of the people in his generation die. They packed them to the graves. You will have to pack your parents, your children, whatever to the grave that's transgressing God's law. And you better ask God to make you strong to endure, because he says, Aaron, I've killed you. Tell Aaron that I kill his two sons. Moses, tell him, don't act like he disagreed with what I did, else I'll kill him too. We sitting here playing with God, and we not putting God in the thing. You scared of your wife, you scared of your husband, you scared of man. God said, that's not who to fear. Fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. Yes. We scared of the wrong one now. Yes. That's what our lives is, and that's why you're teetering now and don't know what to do. Yes. Ahab had let Ben-Hadad go. But here he says, that's how it says, this is how the chapter 21 begins. It says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreel. In other words, after Ahab allowed this to happen, he passed by a patch of ground that a relative, that someone in one of his cities where he had a vacation home, Naboth, had a vineyard. He coveted, he wanted the vineyard. It doesn't say it was a big, beautiful, spectacular vineyard, but he wanted it. That was covetousness. Now, you didn't let the man go with all these cities and things and that God had told you to kill, and now you allow this man to be killed over something you wanted. That same covetousness got Ahab killed at Ramoth Gilead. Jehoshaphat had no better sense than to hang out with Ahab, and he almost got killed. Does that tell you something about complicity and association? If you see a church member that ain't no good and in it for himself, don't hang with him. Don't hang with him, because sooner or later God will take you out. They went into battle. He almost took Jehoshaphat out. The Bible tells you if a brother be a fornicator or idolater, see that you're not company with him. Anybody that's in fellowship that's not walking in the ways of God, it's dangerous. Bad association corrupts good manners. He says, I'm sending Ahab into battle. How can I get him into battle to where I kill him? Because I had warned him I was going to kill him, and here comes this death sentence. Now, he had postponed it and told Elijah he'd postpone it for a while, but he didn't postpone the sentence. He was going to kill him. I tell you, the elders of the city was complicit. And I read to you verse 8 through 14 where Jezebel assembled those letters, the letter together, and wrote it, and wrote to those elders a bill or law for what they were to do. So they set it up like they were doing something right, and they exterminated a kill neighbor. But see, by them become complicit in it, wasn't enough that they legally had their hands tied up in it. Jehu came back as king later on, and the leaders of Samaria, and that's one thing about sin. Sin is contagious. It touches everybody. Now, whether it was the leaders in Jezreel, because that was close to Samaria, it was in the same proximity, but what happened was, this is what Jehu did when he was killing Ahab's whole household. God had sanctioned this. God had ordained it just to be done. What he did was, they were afraid of him, and like I say, in one of my sermons about a bunch of scared men, it's bad, hard to fly like an eagle when you're surrounded by a bunch of turkeys. All of them was going to be destroyed. And if you in a church anywhere like Gideon was, you have to find out who the scared man is. You're not going to put your confidence and trust in a scared man. Gideon was scared himself. He was bewildered when the angel called him a man of value, because he was in the wine press threshing wheat. That was in a hole, not instead of on top of a hill. He was scared to death. God had to prove himself to Gideon several times by sight. See, Naboth had faith to walk by, not by sight, he had faith, whereas Gideon's faith had to be built up by signs, by putting fleece out, by testing and trying God. See, but Jesus, when he was tried by Satan, when he came to him and tempted him, he trusted on the word of God. So that's what we have to trust on, God's word. It's going to be as though it says. It's going to be just as God says. So these leaders, after they got Naboth killed, they were scared of Jehu because Jehu was going around killing like crazy. I mean, he had killed Ahab, he'd killed his sons and things, some of his sons and everything, and he came to Samaria. And he went, see, Ahab had 70 children. He had 70 sons, you know, children, the heirs. And God said he was going to exterminate his house for doing Naboth what he did. But when Jehu came to Samaria, well, with all these children, they had guardians, you know, they had keepers and people over them and the people of the city. And this was a large city, but no matter how large the church is, no matter how large the nation is, you got some scared people in there. The reason they spooked is because of their conscience. God doesn't give them that power, even though a lot of them are staying, because you have fools everywhere that don't know what the world that they'll die for something that's not true. So you have fools. You got fools in the nation. You got people that are deceived in the nation, thinking their religion is right, thinking what they believe. Just because you believe something, that doesn't make it right. So you have the blind that'll fight you to the death. But what happened was, these men took Jehu serious, and Jehu got them and wrote a letter. Listen, he wrote a letter to them that they should kill, they didn't want him to attack them, that they should kill the heirs, Ahab's sons, and put their heads in a basket. Well, they didn't put them in a basket. They pile them all in a pile. They cut off their heads. They kill all these 70 children. Kill them all and pile them out there. That's what you get for wanting something that's not yours. How many of you got sons and daughters and not standing up the things in life, and now your sons and daughters are falling by the wayside because you wasn't following God? See, that's what happens when you sell your inheritance. You open a door for Satan. Ahab wasn't going to have nothing left. He was going to cut off everything that pertained to Ahab and Jezebel. Neither one of them going to have anything. If he could have brought her in line, maybe all of them would have prospered. But he couldn't bring her in line. He was scared himself. So that kind of man shouldn't be repeated in the earth. You shouldn't have seed of him running around in the earth. So it says, 2 Kings, the 10th chapter. You read that, the first verse through the 11th verse, but I'm just going to read verse 9 through 10. It says, the next morning he went out and stood and said to all the people, "You are just and innocent. Behold, I conspired against Joram," in other words, Ahab's son, "and I killed him. But who killed all these? Who killed all the rest of Ahab's sons?" Know then, without any doubt, that there shall fail not one word of the Lord which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord has done what he said through his servant Elijah. So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab, and all of his great men and familiar friends, and all of his priests, until he left him without a survivor. He killed everybody that knew Ahab, was connected to him in any kind of way. That's because of the leadership following a conniving queen, a covetous king, and complicit leadership. The people, all those people eventually went into captivity. They were lost, no identity left. The same thing happened in Judah. The same thing's going to happen in this nation where they're complicit with the laws and things. And don't think you could sit by the sideline and be scared and just say, I ain't in this. You're not contending for the faith. Because a lot of us should be losing our lives, should be coming up against the suffering for standing. It's good to know where the cowards are. God should show you the cowards. God should show you who you can trust and who don't to trust. He gives you that discernment. Like I said, by the elders allowing this travesty of justice to be carried out, it brought doom to the whole nation, such as shall befall Babylon that we live in. This nation has to fall because it's based upon injustice in the land. Not that it don't have just laws, but the hypocritical in carrying out those laws. They're not just. Proverbs 19:25 says, here are some further sayings of the wise. It is wrong to show favoritism when passing judgment. A judge who says to the wicked that you are innocent will be cursed by many people and denounced by nations. But it will go well for those who convict the guilty. Rich blessings will be showered on them. So a lot of surrounding nations and countries are profit when they come in against them. Look at Revelation when it says Babylon is burning. The people set off. They was amazed at such a great place as Babylon could fall. But Babylon will fall. Babylon is fallen. And that's what it says in Revelation, is fallen. The elders should have knew better. And that's why I say it takes time to put elders in the church. You shouldn't just ordain anybody as elders. There are a lot of people in the church. Just because you've been in the church a long time, that doesn't make you an elder. Elders ordained by the people. So when I say ordained by the people, when you vote an elder in, that he's doing the will of the people, just like we voted people in. But that person should die if it's bad leadership. And so it don't take voting on elders in a church lightly. They have to be studied in the Word of God. They have to know the Word of God. Our leaders have to know the Word of God. So what's coming up on this nation, what's coming up on this state, what comes up on the city, what comes up on your home is directly associated with you. You're complicit in it if you're not following God. That's called contending for the faith. You have to study and know God's Word, because Deuteronomy 17th chapter in the 14th to the 20th verse, when giving those guidelines for a king, or when Jesus gave the guidelines for being unto his disciples, he said, if you continue in my word. People that's not continuing God's word, they go bring you some of the saddest sob stories and looking for mercy. But you have to know when something is falling up on a person. That's why I say, hey, those that are sick or whatever, level, come unto the elders of the church. The elders should know what that person's problem is, because they should know that person's attendance at church. What kind of person that person is. How is that person applying himself in life? How did that person live? They should know the laws of God by studying to show themselves approved, not forsaking the assembling together of themselves. They should know God's word. He says, study and meditate in his word day and night. When he says, 18, he says, when he sits on a throne, when you get a king, he must copy for himself the body of instructions on a scroll. He must copy the Bible out, write it out by hand in the presence of the priest, so he'll know the law. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. And God tells us in the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You need to pray and read God's word each day. Amen. Some people are more faithful to a newspaper than they are God's word. Yes. They read the paper every day, but they don't read God's word every day. He says as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms and instructions of the decree. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. In other words, you should know all of those words. You asked me something this week about Lot's wife. I got so many things, I couldn't print them out all. I got them in there for you, but I got some more. And it's 2 or 3 weeks of reading almost for you. Because I couldn't just answer you in one turn, but I'd let you see what everybody said. But for some reason, I don't know, I don't want to put some anointing oil on you one of these days. Because something's going on in your life, God's working there, but you must contend. It's not going to be easy. I remember the pastor anointed me at this church. He called me up and put some anointing oil on me. But from that day on, my life turned, boy, you talk about suffering and going through some stuff. See, once God calls you to him, there's going to be some problems there. But you can't turn away. You notice that everybody that God's anointed have that zeal for God. That they will carry that out because God's word doesn't drop to the ground. Everything God says happens. So as I said, the people were just as guilty as Jezebel and Ahab was. And this month, I don't know if you read last night, it was online last night or whatever, was reading, the Catholic Church, their magazine America, has decided that they could not endorse the current nominee for the Supreme Court. It says Kavanaugh is no longer the best candidate for the court, and he's being pushed forward in an illegitimate process. This is the Catholic Church. King Cain said, if some senators are going to disregard questions about his legitimacy and integrity, the country would benefit from a different candidate. But in light of the new allegations and the Me Too movement, America, that's the name of the Catholic magazine, reversed its decision, saying the different tones of Kavanaugh and Ford remarks also played a role in the thing. The way she seemed, the magazine is saying, she seemed like a credible witness, and they took in account, the priest and those people took in account her demeanor and what was going on, and all his crying and sobbing and like he mad and frustrated. All that played a role in it because semantics don't get anywhere with people that spiritual. They can see through your crying wolf. So they said that they wasn't going to be complicit in it. And see, those religions, all those evangelical leaders that are becoming complicit in this, that's why you have a lot of mega churches or a lot of churches that's kind of breaking up because God's sending all this and we're sitting back like this doesn't matter anything, and these are some of the biggest religious matters in years. See, we have to learn, and the Catholic Church sees here saying, well, look, we done did something wrong. We have to back up because, see, the standards, they should never have been entangled in the first place. Whoever you elect, whoever you put in, that's your problem. But see, they would have been complicit in this if they'd stood still. So they're saying we're not going to be complicit in this. That's what the leaders should have told Jezebel. We're not going to be complicit in this. They should have searched and dug deeper and found out what was truly going on. But they were complicit. So, judgments. I tell you, God watches over his word to perform it. Jeremiah 38, 31 and 28. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. So God's sovereignty, he's watching what's going on in the world. He's tearing things down and he's building things up. You can be on top for a while. Or it may not happen in this life, but those of faith see that God's working. Those that have the earnest of the inheritance knows these things that are going on. And they act a different way. because of their faith in God. They act like Naboth did. See, Naboth was aware of what was going on in Israel, even though he lived in wicked as Israel was, because all of the true priests of God had left and migrated to Judah. It was no priest, no true priest of God where they lived at. That's why when Ahab called for the prophets, those 450, those prophets that prophesied to Ahab go up, Jehoshaphat knew that something was wrong, just like today the churches are condoning and going along with what's happening in this nation. But it's only a few voices like Micaiah that come out and say, you know what, Ahab, you're going to die after this one. God's going to kill you here, boy. If you come back here, I hadn't spoken the word of God. God did just that. He killed him. God's going to bring the nation down if it's built up on whatever foundation it's on. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's built on seeking sin. You know, when Ahab did die, he was brought to Samaria. It says Ahab was brought to Samaria from Ramoth Gilead. You shall speak to him, saying, he told Elijah in the 22nd, Jehu in the 22nd chapter of Kings said, you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, dogs will lick up the blood of Jezebel. Now listen at this. The wording here, it says in place. It's not saying in Jezreel. Stay woke on me here now. It says the place. He's talking about he was standing, Elijah was standing in Naboth's field, because he told Elijah to go down to Naboth's vineyard. Elijah told Ahab in the manner he was going to die. It also happened to his son the same way, because the son of also means that individual, but each individual has to die for his own sin, right? But in other words, he says, when he says that the dogs will lick the blood of Ahab, just like the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, the dogs was going to lick the blood of Jezebel. Now, he said in Jezreel for Jezebel, but notice that he said place. He didn't say in Jezreel when he was talking to Ahab, where Ahab, because Ahab didn't die in Jezreel. Ahab died on the field at Ramoth Gilead. Listen at this. So don't listen. You have scholars and things come in and say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. It's not happening, because Ahab didn't die in Jezreel. It says, so the king died and was brought to Samaria. He was in the chariot. He died. He was hit in the only spot he could be hit, by an arrow that shot it at a venture. God just shot an arrow in the air, and God guided the arrow to the only spot in Naboth's armor where it could have killed him at. And it brought him then, he said, he died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him in Samaria. They washed the chariot by the pool on the outskirts of Samaria, where the prostitutes bathed, and the dogs licked up the blood, in accordance with the word of the Lord, which he had spoken, says, where dogs licked up his blood. But his son Joram, you remember I told you Joram was the one Jehu killed? Joram was killed in Jezreel. For some reason or another, he picked to fight Jehu in Jezreel. Now, he might have been fighting over the vineyard. I don't know what he was fighting over. But God had ordained Jehu as king to come in and put this to death. Now, notice that he didn't overthrow Ahab. Jehu didn't overthrow Ahab. God doesn't contradict himself. He doesn't contradict his matter of kings. So Ahab died in battle fighting against Ben-Hadad. All right? But his son Joram was reigning in his stead. So the destruction of Ahab and his family was given to Jehu. If you look at 2 Kings, the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, you'll see where Jehu was ordained to kill Ahab and his whole family by Elisha. Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise among from his brother and carry him to an inner chamber. Take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord. See, that's why I say about anointing. He called him off in secret and gave him and anointed him that God had told him to do this. I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, went to Ramoth Gilead and did that. And he elaborated and says, for the house of Ahab shall perish. I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel. Now listen, he specifies in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none of her the barrier, and he opened the door and fled. So Jehu heard that word spoken, and he says he was going to have Jezebel killed in that portion of Jezreel where she had Naboth killed at. That's why I said we must diligently adhere to the word. So Ahab died in a fashion of being shot by the arrow, but God's word came true from Elijah's prophecy because Elijah had told him that the dogs would lick his blood. And the dogs did lick his blood, but it was the blood that was washed from the chariot when they brought him to Samaria, and that's where they washed out the chariot, and the dogs did lick his blood there. But Jezebel is the one, he says, in the portion of Jezreel, and the dogs was going to eat her there. That's why we must diligently adhere to God's word, not allowing our own prejudice and righteousness to enter in. So you can have a zeal for God without knowledge. You can go out there and die for God and it ain't going to make a difference. That don't mean you're going to heaven just because you're not denying that you know Jesus. Because you may not be serving Jesus. There's a lot of people that are out there doing things out of their own wants. They're feeding the needy. They're going to church. They're doing all these things. But Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. See, because they don't have an intimate fellowship or relationship with God. God's not talking to them. That's why they feel so depressed a lot of times. That's why a lot of times that drive or that true zeal is not there. They have a physical of a zeal similar like Jehu. He had a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. He heard some of God's words some places and some times, but Jehu had a hatred of people. He had a dominant spirit, you know, like that male ego that just loved to kill and everything. He overstepped God's word in his zealousness of killing and everything. He went beyond. That's why we need to study God's word and act according to God's word. See, Moses overstepped God's word. He said, speak to the rock, and he smote the rock, so he couldn't go into the promised land because he didn't listen at what God said. We must do and listen at what he said. That's what faith is, doing and listening at what God says. And you had zeal without knowledge. And that's why he says his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You get knowledge by studying and understanding God's word, walking in God's word, and laboring in God's word through faith. But the beginning of that is the fear of the Lord. You have to fear God. God is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge and understanding. Without that, you can't get it. You'll see in 2 Kings 9 and 7, Jehu did some stuff he shouldn't have. It's written in the book of Hosea. And God pronounces this judgment in the book of Hosea. Hosea, the first chapter and the fourth verse says, and the Lord said to him, name him Jezreel. That was one of Hosea's sons that God told him to name that son Jezreel. He said, for yet in a little while, I will avenge the blood that was shed in the valley of Jezreel and inflict a punishment for it on the house of Jehu. Jehu went in, like I said, and killed a lot of people in Jezreel that God hadn't told him. He went beyond the scope of what he was authorized to do. His zeal for the Lord wasn't a zeal according to knowledge. So God was to destroy Zuhu, that same one he had chosen to inflict. That's why it's hard, and that's why I told you the prayers and imprecations and things was in the Bible and everything, but I said I wouldn't pray some of those prayers and everything. See, that's why he told Peter, he who kills with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Sometimes don't go around killing, or don't you do the fatal blows. Let God allow somebody else to do that. You want to walk within that, the Lord said, thou shalt not kill. God got servants of people to do those things. Unless you have that kind of nature, that kind of ilk. He says, I will in the valley of Jezreel and inflict the punishment for it on the house of Jehu. And I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. So he was going to end Israel for what happened. That whole nation was going to be ended. God was going to end that. You all right? Okay, and the conclusion here. John describes the beast, his power, and his blasphemy. And if you listen at John in the book of Revelation, you hear about the beast and biblical symbolism and everything. We see a beast normally is talking about governments and powers. We see that here in America, how it's engendering, that it's becoming a beast. It's coming that there's no justice in this nation. You see injustice on every hand. We see injustice in every state, city. In the homes, we see injustices. Because Jesus asked the question, shall I find faith? Are you contending for the faith that the buck stops with you? Are you contending as he did, as Naboth did? This is our part, what the saints will have to endure. Because it says God allows the beast, he allows. This was eminent domain that was happening with Naboth. The government was taking his land. The government was taking what belongs to him. It may cost you your life. It may cost you everything. But be strong in the Lord and contend for that faith. Mm-hmm.